The Word of God from the book of Acts in chapter 18, the first 11 verses. And of course, the book of Acts is looking at the work of the mission of the church directed by the apostles. And in chapter 18, we look at that work in the Greek city of Corinth. Chapter 18 of Acts, verses 1 through 11. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius, Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. People who hear the word from these recordings at the Daleville Christian Church website, we want people to hear the faith of Daleville Christian Church. And we have a declaration of our faith every worship service. This one is from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Here at Daleville Christian Church, we want you connected. We want you connected to Jesus Christ. A part of that connection is being connected to Jesus' church. And I want to add quickly that simply having the Jesus connection available is not the same as being connected. Having a phone that has a connection and using the phone are two different things. All who call upon Jesus as Lord have a Jesus connection because of Jesus' atoning death and resurrection. But in using a connection to Jesus, life is way better. Life is way better with a Jesus connection than without a Jesus connection. Jesus called that connection with the believers the Holy Spirit. But again, having it and using it, or I should say, having it and being used by the Holy Spirit are two very different things. Today we talk about that connection with Jesus and what it can mean for you, your family, and your community. But it isn't easy to explain. We have here at Daleville Christian Church for the last several weeks been reviewing what we believe, and what we believe as spoken of and written about mostly in the book of Acts. Again today, we find ourselves in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is supposed to be about the apostles and their early mission work. There certainly is a lot of that in the book of Acts. In that book of Acts, we also have the messages concerning the gospel, and we have the practical expression of the message for the people the apostles spoke to. But what we have is the ancient expression of the faith, to and for an ancient people. Even if these people were all over the known world at that time, which we read about in Acts chapter 2, they're all of them ancient peoples. They all share a basic understanding of the world and how the world works. For example, as Paul stated in the verses we saw last week, Paul addresses his Greek audience saying, "I see that you are very religious. even if the Greeks were not Jewish, and they certainly were not yet followers of Jesus Christ, they had a religious faith. They didn't argue about the existence of God. Almost all of them already believed in a God or gods. Even though Paul and his audience were of a different religion, they shared a basic belief in religion and the importance of religion in the life of the individual and the importance of religion in the life of the community. In today's chapter of Scripture, all the fuss is about what exactly it is that Paul is talking about with regard to Jesus. They understand everything else together. But Paul is able to speak the same words to Jews and Greeks, and they understand what Paul is talking about in the ancient world. But what was true then about that audience back then is not true now. Today, any audience I take the good news of Jesus to just might not have any idea what I'm talking about. Anyone you might be telling the good news of Jesus to, they may have no idea what you are talking about. There are even some people today who do not believe that Jesus even existed. So you and I would have our work cut out for us if we want to talk to people about Jesus Christ. It may be of interest that in all the arguments that the apostles had with people about Jesus Christ, they never argued about whether Jesus actually existed or not. They all knew that Jesus did. Last weekend, Deborah and I watched the film Heaven is for Real. We liked it. I liked it. And by coincidence, our administrative assistant, Sherry, also watched Heaven is for Real last weekend. She liked the film also. I know a number of you have already read the book, which has the same title, Heaven is for Real. If you have not read it, I gave my copy away. But there are people here who will loan you a copy, and I would direct you to simply ask the elders if they have a copy available for you to read. Many people have enjoyed the film version of the book. I would recommend the movie also, although it might also help you if you read the book, the Bible, which is the original version of any book that is about heaven. One of the strengths of the film, Heaven is for Real, I believe, is how the story explains that life is not what you see, hear, and feel every day. Or perhaps I might more accurately state, life is not limited to what you see, hear, and feel every day. There's another dimension to life, a spiritual dimension. Our life on this planet is not merely physical. Our life on this planet is spiritual. Whether or not you are or you are not a believer or a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a spirit, what some call a soul. Again, the Bible reference is the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, where it says that you and I are made in the image and likeness of God Himself, and God is spirit. And it therefore follows that you and I are also spirits. It is incorrect to say that you have a spirit. To say you and I have spirits as well as flesh and blood sounds as if you could go on without a spirit. But that isn't possible, just as if you cannot say you have flesh and blood, you are flesh and blood. If you say you have flesh and blood, it's as if you could exist without it. But try living without your flesh and blood for a few minutes. It just doesn't work very well. We are flesh and blood, and we are spiritual beings. Americans, however, are usually focused on the world around them, the physical world around them. As a nation, as a culture, we rarely think about or live from the truth that we are spirits. There's only one time in most Americans' lives that we ever talk about a person's spirit, and that time is at their deaths. This is sad, since you and I live as spiritual beings all our lives. But we reserve talking about the spirit until life is over. Now, there are people who like to make a distinction between being religious and being spiritual. That isn't a real distinction. There are people who are religious, and there are people who claim to be spiritual, whose lives are compartmentalized. They relegate spiritual life to a particular activity or moments of reflection. That isn't being spiritual. I would readily admit that it's participating in a spiritual activity, But participating in some spiritual activity isn't the same as being spiritual. And I would emphasize the word being. Being spiritual means that you live out of the awareness that you are spiritual. Charles Dickens put it this way in his great short story entitled A Christmas Carol, that Christmas was a time of year when people's hearts were not shut up, and people considered others as on the same journey in this life. And we are not on different journeys. And realizing that we are on the same journey, a spiritual journey at Christmas time, moves people to open their hearts, to be kind, to be compassionate, to be caring, to be thoughtful, to be giving. And that's why Charles Dickens loved Christmas. For 1 month a year or 12 days a year, people seem to live out of that awareness that we are all God's creatures. And for Christians, that the Savior has come for us, that God is rescuing us, that we have a reason to celebrate and have joy. Now we're in the book of Acts again today, and up to this point in the book of Acts, a number of spiritual moments have taken place and been described. The spiritual moments, besides the obvious ones at the beginning, Jesus' ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. After that, there are three healings, there are four spiritual disputes. One of them results in an exorcism, but the Holy Spirit always has the upper hand. Chapter after chapter. That's one of the reasons the book of Acts was written, to encourage the churches that the Holy Spirit is at work in the churches, and the Holy Spirit is triumphant in the Lord's work. But no one has ever had to have it explained to them that they lived with spirits and among spirits, that they worked with spirits. Just about everyone in the ancient world already believed that. But not so today. And yet even today there are many experiences in this life that have brought people to understand and accept that life is a spiritual experience. I've compiled a list from various sources of people's experiences that led them to faith or a belief in God or the presence of God in their lives, or for them to see that their life has another dimension, a spiritual dimension. I'll list them for you. Gazing at a child's ear brought one man to believe in God. Perhaps in a similar vein, the birth of a child has sometimes brought people to accept that there is a spiritual dimension to our physical life. Feeling in love is a spiritual experience for many people. Having a close encounter with injury or death brings some folks to know that life is spiritual as well as physical. Being baptized is for some a spiritual experience. Encounters with nature and the power of nature. Bible even mentions this one as a common spiritual experience. Battlefield experience brings some people to know that life is also spiritual. Other extreme experiences often have the same effect. Serious illness or sudden disability, or a loved one's illness or death. There are those who report a miraculous release from addiction after prayers to Jesus. There are those who report being saved from suicide by divine intervention. Pastor Francis Chan began his popular book entitled Crazy Love. The book begins with a detailed description of creation, beginning with a caterpillar on a leaf. This, for Pastor Chan, begins to make a connection with God, the Creator. Now, none of these experiences always leads to an experience of the spiritual side of our life, but all of these experiences have for someone and for several people revealed a spiritual side to life. It has proven to them that life is more than what we see, feel, and do. There are a couple of examples I might share with you how life is more than what we see, hear, and do. These are not necessarily spiritual examples, but ways to describe the presence of spiritual life, what it might be like to have that spiritual experience. Imagine that you are in your house and you notice a door that leads to another room, and one day you discover that it isn't another room that is so familiar to you, but rather behind that door is an entire wing of your house that you did not know even existed before. With that discovery, you begin to live differently than you did when your house was just your same old house. That would be like discovering that there's a spiritual dimension to your life and living. I don't know how many of you have been to the ocean, and I don't know what experiences you have of the ocean. I do remember the first time I saw the ocean. I was a child. I was so excited by the ocean, and remember, I was from Rush County, Indiana, and there's no shoreline in Rush County, Indiana. But there were people I lived with growing up who had never been to the ocean and were perfectly content never having been to the ocean. I was so excited by the ocean that I couldn't sleep. And that was just the experience of seeing the ocean. I hadn't even put my toes in it yet. Now, it's possible that some of you have only put your toes in the ocean. That's a very different experience than having a wave pick you up and put you face down in the sand. And when you're from Rush County, Indiana, like me, that's often referred to as fun. Some of you may have been fishing over the ocean, returned to eat your catch. That's a different experience of the ocean. You might have been out in the ocean during a storm, and that too is a very different experience of the ocean than playing in the waves on a sunny day. And then, of course, many more people have experienced a hurricane, an even more powerful and destructive experience of the ocean. Now, you can live never having put your toes in the ocean water. You can live never having seen the ocean. But how differently you see and experience life if you have survived a hurricane or a storm at sea. Nature never quite looks the same after that. Imagine rolling in the power of the waves and the surf. Life is very different than simply looking at a picture of the ocean. That's close to having a spiritual experience. You see, you can talk about the ocean without never having been to the ocean, but how much different you would talk about it if you played in the ocean. You can talk about the spiritual side of life, or you can live by the Spirit. Those are two very different things. And an experience of the ocean is not unlike a spiritual experience. The ocean can be exciting, even frightening. And it can be invigorating, it can be peaceful, it can bring peace, it can feed you. And the world of the Spirit is vast, like the ocean is vast. And people can live their lives without an experience of the ocean. I knew a woman who lived her entire life within 2 miles of the beach, and she'd been to the beach once in her life. Some people treat the life of the Spirit the same way. They're so close to the Spirit, but they ignore it. However, we are spirits. Living a spiritual life is what our Lord Jesus has in mind for us. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." And the Apostle Paul told his congregation more than once, "Live by the Spirit." Paul wrote, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit." There may be a parallel way to talk about life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit is an ongoing spiritual experience. Personally, I find it a little odd that people talk about believing in heaven, and the film Heaven Is For Real has that question in the background. Is heaven for real? Do we believe in heaven? And I'm sorry if I sound harsh, but sometimes that sounds like a silly question. How can anyone ask that question? To me, that's like asking, do you believe in the ocean? Believe in it? I swam in it. I have jars of sand back at the house. I have beach chairs with sand still in them and on them. I plan to go back to the ocean. I eat fish. I own beach shoes. Deborah picked up a cup full of seashells. My mother once had a coffee table made from a lobster trap. So, yeah, technically, I guess, I believe in the ocean. But since I was actually in the ocean, and lots of my life revolves around the ocean, it isn't a matter of belief. It's a matter of how I live my life. And the same thing is true of the Spirit. So in the book and the movie Heaven Is For Real, we have a report of someone who has been to heaven. Is that so remarkable? You and I have a home in heaven. Heaven is our hometown. Heaven is our homeland. Believe in it. We're supposed to be living out of it. Our citizenship is there. However, we are presently also flesh, so we have to be reminded that our life is in the Spirit. Reminders that we are spirits living by Jesus Christ makes life different, even better. Using that spiritual connection makes life with Jesus better. When Peter first encountered Jesus, Peter realized he was in the presence of a man who doesn't live life like everyone else. Jesus is not concerned with making a living or getting wealth. Peter was unhinged by this man, Jesus, who was the Son of God, the Spirit of God. Paul will write, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." One more way we might talk about this connection to the Holy Spirit is to talk about the electricity in your house. It's vital to have your electrical devices connected to the electricity, but none of your devices are doing a thing for you unless the electricity is flowing through them and they are being used. What good is any electrical connection if you never use the device or the appliance? It's of no use at all. The same is true of our Jesus connection. Having one is great, but it isn't exactly doing anything for us unless that connection is active. What do we need to say? That your wires need to be hot. Your wires need to be alive. You need to be using God's web of guidance and love, of comfort and encouragement, God's web of knowledge and truth. It isn't enough to have internet or Wi-Fi if you have no platform to use it. The same is true of the connection of our Lord's Holy Spirit. Are your wires hot? Are you on God's line? Now, having talked about the Spirit as a positive experience, we have only talked about half of spiritual experiences because spiritual life has two sides, light and dark. There are dark spiritual forces. We moderns aren't even sure we believe in a spiritual side of life, let alone a dark spiritual side of life, but the Bible talks about dark spiritual forces all the time. One of the arguments Jesus had to answer was this, that although Jesus clearly had power and Jesus was clearly spiritual, was it the Spirit of God or was it the spirit of Satan? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Later in John's Gospel, Jesus said, "I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." And the apostle later told the churches, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." And later, "You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." See, reminders of who we are, reminders of the Spirit of God, reminders that we are connected, that the Spirit of the Lord lives in us and we live by the Spirit. You, my friends, are people of the Spirit of Christ. You've put away fleshly living as a way to live. Yes, we must live with our flesh, and we must provide for our flesh, but it's not the way we live. We live by the way of the Spirit. We live life through the Spirit. For you have embraced life in the Spirit, life by the Spirit, and life through the Spirit. You want that. And the good news is that it's all around you. You have entered the realm of the Spirit, of light. It dwells within you and guides you. It comforts you. It's supposed to give you a sense of empowerment. So what can we say to others? It's always easier to talk about oneself. Talk about yourself. If you can say that once you were in darkness and now you live in the light of the Lord, then say it. If you once had a spirit of fear but now know that you have a spirit of adoption, a child of God because of Jesus Christ, then say it. If you can say that you are living a new life through the Holy Spirit made possible by Jesus Christ, then say it. And if you can say that you once lived a worldly life but now can live by the Spirit through Jesus Christ, then say it. But be reminded that you are connected. You're connected to the Holy Spirit because of Jesus Christ. Use your Christ one connection. Get your wires hot and alive. Get on God's web. If you can say that once you did not know God, but now you know that God is your Father, then say it. It's the Holy Spirit at work in you through Jesus Christ. If you can say that Jesus Christ is Lord and mean it, then your connection is established. Use that connection and be used by that connection. You are connected in and through Jesus Christ, who won that connection for us. Amen.